Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, good morning. It's Monday. It's Mike. It's the Confused Breakfast. I got a little intro for you for today's episode. You're going to want to listen to this one. I have a very special guest. His name is Dave Moody. He is one of the singers in the band Hairball. And we just got done talking about Rockstar. So, you know, we had to explore Rockstar life and all that fun stuff. And he is the perfect person to join us. He's had some crazy experiences, stories, and he's got some knowledge to share for us about the Rockstar life. We talk about that for a little while. And then we get into our favorite movies about music and what they mean to us. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. Give it a listen and let's go. All right, everybody, welcome to a very special episode of the Confused Breakfast. As you just heard last week, we did the movie Rockstar. Very enjoyable episode. But as I'm doing this episode, I'm thinking that most of my friends are looking at me as like, hey, Mike, he's a rock star. He knows what he's talking about. And then I'm like, no. I got to get a real rock star to talk about not only this movie, but the experiences in rock and roll and maybe just some movies about music. So if you've never heard of the band Hairball, you are completely missing out because they are, in fact, one of the greatest bands on the face of the earth. I've had the pleasure of opening for them, I think, like 4 or 5 times now. And I can tell you, without a doubt, that this band not only does a good tribute, like the best possible tribute to Kiss, Van Halen, Motley Crue, Queen, Journey, Aerosmith, and more, but I will say, so that our guest does not have to say this, I think they do it better than the bands ever did it. And I'm truly happy to have Dave Moody, one of the members on the show. He's truly a larger-than-life rock star and one of the coolest dudes I've ever met, and I think he's going to be great to help shed some light on what being a rock star really is like. So Dave, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you for that very warm introduction. However, I never use the moniker of rock star. I'm just a dude that's doing his job and hoping that it pleases people. But yeah, it's an interesting life we lead for sure. And thank you for all the compliments. It's always great to have you guys.
Well, let me ask you this. So I think this is what has changed the most over since like the 70s, 80s. Where back then, I mean, these guys are truly what we think of as rock stars, right? All these bands that you guys are covering. But what do you think has changed since those days to like where you are now and more of maybe the professionalism that has come into rock and roll and putting on a good show?
Cell phones.
Oh, that's what it is.
You can't get away with nothing anymore. That's what it is. It used to be cool to be debaucherous, but now it's not that way anymore. But it is part of it. It's just a different time and the way that we're doing things now is different. I mean, we're a bit older, of course, you know, but it's just, you know, things change and you go with them, you know, so that's where we're at in life. And you know what? That's okay. It's all good.
The older we get, I have buddies that haven't seen us play in 10 years and they'll show up in their town in Omaha or whatever. And they'll be like, hey man, let me come backstage. And you let them come backstage and they're blown away that there's not cocaine and hookers and just partying. And we're just sitting there like all quiet, saving our voices, waiting for the show. And they just can't understand it compared to what it was back when we first started and we were in college.
Well, there is a room that you could go. I kid. I'm just joking. But yeah, it's not as crazy as what you think about. You know, I mean, now we talk about great financial decisions versus who we're going to take home that evening. You know, I mean, but it all comes with age and growing up and everything. But yeah, back in the 80s and in the real time frame of that, I could tell you stories that I probably can't tell you stories because the statute of limitations hasn't run out.
It hasn't? It's that long? Shoot.
No, we'll just leave it alone. We'll just leave it alone.
Well, I messaged you right away after we did Rockstar. I was like, hey, man, have you seen this? And you're like, oh, duh. I have a question for you. One of the things that really comes up in this movie that I actually find interesting, because this was 2001 and, you know, it's supposed to be taking place in the 80s, I believe. But they really bring up this idea between tribute bands and cover bands. Like, what do you think the real difference is between those?
Well, you know, I mean, the line has gotten blurred quite a bit, I think, because I think if you're doing a proper tribute and you're doing it with respect and you're not taking the piss out of somebody and you're doing it with the proper production and you're doing it with the respect that the music deserves and you're doing it with the spirit of which the band was created and how it's delivered, and it doesn't come off corny or cheesy or anything like that. I think it's a wonderful experience. I mean, who doesn't want to be transported back in time? If somebody's willing to take the time to learn the mannerisms and the vocal chops and the musical chops that it takes to do some of this stuff, and they're laying it all out there with a great production, I mean, why? It's up to you at that point. You know, it's not the band. You know, it's not AC/DC. You know, it's not Kiss. You know, it's not Queen. But you know, at that point, if you come into the room and they're dealing the goods, then it's up to you to have a good time. I mean, you can sit there with your arms folded all you want, but as long as the band's delivering the goods and they're doing, you know, proper respect to the band, and they're, I think that. I think it's a wonderful thing. I mean, I earn a living doing it, of course, so whatever. But I still believe that the people that go out there and do it with a large amount of respect and deliver the goods, I mean, they're just as good as anything out on the road. I've seen a lot of great tributes.
Oh, yeah. So that brings me to my next point. You've been doing this for longer than I have, but when I got into the Pork Tornadoes 16 years ago, like, there really wasn't...
Great.
Appreciate that, man. There really wasn't... much tribute stuff going on. Like, it was all variety cover bands seemed to be all the rage, but this movie portrays that maybe there was a lot of tribute type acts going on in the 80s, 90s. Do you remember that to be the case? Was tribute bands a thing back then? Or is that just something the movie just kind of took liberties with?
No, they did not take liberties. There were tribute bands back in the day. Strutter comes to mind, which was a great Kiss tribute that was, you know, saw by, you know, Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley, and they would come and watch the band, and they ended up, you know, really, you know, kind of tipping the hat to them as great job. You know, you guys are faithful to the brand, and that's pretty cool. Then you had Battery back in the day, a Metallica tribute. Okay. that was phenomenal back in the day. I remember seeing them and going, wow, that is amazing. Those guys are really good. And Metallica actually took them and put them in clubs. So after they would do, like, I think it was the Justice tour, they followed them around and they were the after party.
Wow.
And Metallica would come. James Hetfield, where I live in Cincinnati, actually came to the club where they were playing one time after a show. And he was just hanging out and jumped up with the band in a club, you know. So they didn't take any liberties at all. I mean, there was a real tribute scene. I would call what's going on right now with the tributes 2.0, because the first incarnation of all of it was back in the 80s.
Yeah, because now, it seems like the only bands getting the gigs right now are tribute bands or
good, you know, tributes.
Yeah, exactly. Good. I mean, there are a lot of tributes out there. Let's just say that. Has anybody ever of the bands that you are actually paying homage to in Hairball, has anyone ever come to see you and see the show and and chat with you at all?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I remember distinctively about a year ago, Stephen Piercy standing on the side of the stage and we're just hanging out, and he was getting ready to go up and do some Rat with the band. And he went up and did Round and Round and Lay It Down, and it was great. I know for a fact, before I got in the band, that Rob Halford, Paul Stanley, and Gene Simmons, who else? Rob Zombie, wow. Alice Cooper, so many people have been up with this band, and they look at this band, and thankfully so, and humbly so, is the band that they would get up and jam with.
Yes.
You know, this is the band that we would get up and play with. I mean, these guys genuinely care about our music and our art, and they show us that tip of the hat with the respect and getting up with us. So it's pretty cool. It's awesome to meet your heroes.
Well, we're going to talk about some movies dealing with music, but before we do that, I mean, seriously, anybody out there, we have fans all over the country, you have to look up Hairball, hairballonline.com, I think it is, and I mean, they will be somewhere near you, and I can tell you my personal Hairball story, because Hairball's been around forever, and you remember, you hear them and you're like, oh dude, you hear, oh, hairball, they're the best, and you're trying to start your band and you're like, well, whatever, they're probably not that good, and all your, they're selling out arenas, you're like, yeah, well, it's just because, you know, whatever, they've been around forever. And then you actually see Hairball, and I'm telling you, it is a mind-blowing experience how good you guys are and just how faithful you are to the songs. Like I shout it to the rooftops that if you've never had a chance to see Hairball, go, because for my mind, for the cost of seeing you guys, I think it's better money spent than seeing any band out there on the road. So that's just me saying, anybody listening, you got to look up Hairball and you got to go see him. You got to go see Dave. What acts are you doing right now, Dave? What are you singing for?
I do Gene Simmons. I do Alice Cooper, Brian Johnson. I do Quiet Riot, Tom Keeper of Cinderella. I do Wasp. And I do, just recently started doing Motorhead.
I saw that in the photo. I'm excited to hear that, man.
And, we're all excited about that one. But the thing about it is, and again, thank you for all the compliments. But the truth of the matter is, with our band, what we hope to do, and you've seen it, and you tell me at any point when I'm lying, we've got 5 video walls, more pyro than a 70s Kiss concert. We could fit in any arena just fine. And we're there to blow your eyes out of your head, leave your eardrums bleeding, and leave you sticky, broken, and confused. That's our job. It's our job description. Look it up. It's in Wikipedia. That's what we do. And it's full authentic costuming, it's makeup, it's the whole deal. And man, is it a lot of fun. And you lose yourself in the nostalgia aspect of it. And it's the greatest choruses to the greatest songs ever written. And we preach a better gospel congregation than Billy Graham. So you come on out. It's a rock and roll church. We want to have you.
Well, that's great, man. Well, let's dive into, this is a movie podcast, but you know, we love music. That is a big thing that we talk about, the soundtracks to movies, how that influences the way we see these pictures. I want to talk to you about, like, let's call it movies about music, because you're a musician. I know you love movies as well. There's so many good ones out there. I mean, obviously Rockstar being one of them, but let's start going down the line. Let's talk about some movies about music that we love. What, you want to go first?
Oh, I mean, everybody's excited about the new Spinal Tap coming out. I know that I am. I cannot wait to see that. So Spinal Tap would be first and foremost as far as music movies for any musician, especially of our genre, because it hits so close to home. Rockstar is a great one, of course. I mean, I love Crazy Heart with Mel Gibson,
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges. And I love Crazy Heart. Really got me hardcore, because it was just so real.
I'm feeling Crazy Heart like I've never felt it before, because I saw it. What I mean, that came out 10-15 years ago, and incredible movie, right? You know, Jeff Bridges actually plays and sings the songs. You've got some really great artists like Ryan Bingham joining. But I'll tell you what, I feel that movie, I watched it like 6 months ago, and this idea that you know, it's a finite journey in music, right? Like you can be at top of the world and then someday it's going to come down and younger kids are going to pass you up and your body and soul are going to be in rough shape. And that movie hits me real hard as a musician getting a little bit older, you know?
It does. And, you know, I mean, you see this stuff and I'm very open and honest about who I am as a person. So like whenever I see his journey and his alcoholism and stuff, which I'm an alcoholic. You know, I saw that in his journey and the way that he portrayed that character. And I was like, oh my goodness, I've been there more than once. And then, you see, the new version of Star is Born, yeah, which was with Bradley Cooper. And I had to make some phone calls after that one. I was like, I remember doing that. I'm sorry. And, some of them get really, really close to you. They're not all funny. No. But they do hit you pretty hard. There's a lot of truth in them.
Well, and some of the things I like about movies about music are that it doesn't always, like, there's a story there for the general public to go, oh, wow, this is a great story. But then there's always that underlying story for, like, musicians, right? You know, like, one of my favorite movies about music of all time is The Blues Brothers. Number one, I'm going to go on a limb and say it's a musical, and I'm going to say it's the best musical of all time because that movie's hilarious, but at the same time, those subtle things of like playing in the wrong club when you shouldn't be there, like when they're expecting country and you're playing rock and roll, or drinking more beer than you're actually getting paid. Like those are hilarious, but also like they hit close to home for the old days, man.
They do. They do. Blues Brothers. We recite that one all the time right before we're getting ready to go on. Now, wait a minute. I haven't even seen these boys play yet.
Three orange whips.
Three orange whip. Yeah. So we laugh at that one quite a bit, too. It's always great when you got Belushi on the screen. So, yeah, that's awesome.
Well, we talk a lot about we did an episode on the Blues Brothers a while ago. And I don't know if you knew this, but like all the musicians that they actually had, like speaking of rock star, all the incredible actual musicians that played the role, but Blues Brothers, man, they had the guys that were actually in the band were incredible. That what Steve Colonel Cropper, Donald Duck Dunn, Willie Two Big Hall, and then you had all those dudes from Saturday Night Live. Like the whole horn section was originally from Saturday Night Live. That I think they just kind of said, "Hey, Aykroyd and Belushi, let's roll. Like we'll go on the road with you and play some tunes."
Yeah, that was one of the greatest bands ever assembled, and people don't understand that. Some people think it's just, you know, actors, but no, that was the real dudes, and that was the real players, they were monsters. So, whenever you see those guys, it's like, it's amazing.
Let me ask you this. This question comes up a lot on our show. Would you rather have musicians that actually play music learning, like, how to act, pretending how to act and being actors in movies? Or would you rather have good actors pretending to play music in a band?
I'd rather have the real musicians because it's a little bit more awkward that way and funny, you know, it adds a little special spice to it.
Well, and all the musicians out there that are watching their hands doing the guitar solo and you're like, that's not the actual guitar, or the drummer that's sure hitting off beat. Like I want to at least know they're doing it or trying to do
it. Right? I want to at least know that they can play. Yeah. Cause then it's got some authenticity to it. Then they kind of, they probably know what we're going through.
Did you ever see a movie called Anvil, The Story of Anvil?
Yes, I did.
What did you think about that one?
That one right there was another one. I mean, it should hit everybody a little bit close to home. I mean, if you don't get inspired by the never quit attitude of those guys, which is something that, if I'm being honest, most musicians are inherently lazy. They just are. They expect things to come to them. They expect people to just give them things. They expect the world without having to work for it. And I'm not saying most, but I see a large group of them. But those guys never quit. They never gave up. And that stick-to-itiveness and that attitude and just that grinding mentality, just too stupid to quit. I love it. I think it's great. And to this very day, they're doing that very thing. Yes. And man, that's so commendable. It just is. And I love it. It's just a wonderful story. I just wish their music translated to the success of the movie.
You know? I know. And if you've never seen it, it's called Anvil, The Story of Anvil. It's a documentary. This band, I mean, Anvil was around in what, 78, I think they formed. And they were like credited as pioneering like heavy metal music as we know. And like, like they influenced like Megadeth, Slayer, Metallica, but they just somehow never... Everybody just passed them, and they just, they never got that big hit. And this kind of journey, it follows them, and it's, you nailed it. It's endearing. And just how, if you ever have a dream and you're like thinking about giving up on it, like you just got to watch this and follow Lips's advice and just be like, I just got to keep going. Like, I don't know anything else.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. That's what I tell all young musicians. I look at them and I say, you know, Do you really want to do this? And if you do, don't quit, because there's going to be a million people that do, and they're going to get married, and they're going to have kids, and they're going to get jobs. And that's okay. That's okay. But if this is really what you want to do, don't let anybody deter you from doing it. I mean, don't let anybody tell you to get a job. Don't let anybody tell you, why don't you grow up? Don't let anybody, screw these people. You get out there and you do exactly what you want to do and what you were born to do. And lay it all out there. That's what I did. And thank God it worked out.
Have you been essentially a professional musician for the majority of your life?
35 years.
Wow.
35 years. I got out of high school and I did some jobs, but I knew what I was going to do. I knew everybody had to do what they had to do in the beginning, you know? Yeah, that's predominantly how I've paid my bills. I'm so thankful for that. And, you know, I mean, even if I didn't have what I have now, just to know that I paid my bills playing music and strumming my guitar or singing or entertaining folks was just such a huge deal to me. And it still is to this very day that I'm not playing by anybody else's rules. I'm doing my own thing, you know, and the whole band feels that way too.
It's so hard to describe to people what it's like to have something you love that you're so passionate about, that you've waited your whole life for, to have it happen. And then to just continuously trying to like grasp it and just being like, it's there. I want it to last forever. And cause you know that so many people don't get to do what you guys do in Hairball, and to imagine that we all had dreams of it and then it just happened, and you're like, oh, how did I get so lucky? But I'm going to be thankful for it, and I'm not going to screw it up because I'm going to keep going.
Well, yeah, there's some luck involved, but there's a lot of anvil involved in it too. There's a lot of stick-to-itiveness and just wanting to do it and just, you know, willing things to happen. If you don't have that, then you're going to get knocked down with the first wave of adversity. So you got to have some strong, you got to have a strong skull cap, because you're going to get beat in the head daily. But I'm thankful that I do have that. I'm thankful that my band members have that, and nobody quit. And if you can do that, man, good things will come to those who truly wait. I believe that 1000%.
Are you a Johnny Cash fan?
Huge. I'm a hillbilly from Kentucky. That was a church.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I love Johnny Cash.
What did you think about Walk the Line with Joaquin Phoenix when that came out?
Phenomenal. He did a great job. I mean, everything that he does is great.
Yeah.
I've yet to see a movie that he's done where he was not good in it. His latest version of Joker was phenomenal. The new Napoleon movie that's out, he was phenomenal. The guy could act like a rock and I would watch it. You know, I mean, he's that good. But he nailed it. And, you know, he insisted on singing everything.
Yep.
He insisted on playing everything. And I believe Reese Witherspoon did the same.
I think she did
in that movie. And, I mean, just so authentic and the attention to detail, that's where you can blur the lines. You know, you can go, oh man, that is really, really special.
I grew up on that kind of country, you know, that was what my parents played all the time. So when I found out they were doing a movie about Johnny Cash, I had read all about him. I'd learned everything I could. I was like, oh man, they're going to screw it up. Joaquin Phoenix from Gladiator. No way. This is going to be stupid. And like, man, that movie, I think I walked out of the theater, just like couldn't talk for a little while after that one was over, because I thought they just did such a good job. I know not everything was perfect to what the history of Johnny Cash was, but like they did a good job, man. They really did.
Well, did you see, there's probably a mix between the two if you've seen Dewey Cox,
Walk Hard. We talk about that one all the time.
It's probably in the middle. It's probably in the middle. There's Walk the Line and Walk Hard. It might be a little bit of the two.
It's more in the middle of the two, yeah. What about, have you ever heard of that movie? It's another documentary called Searching for Sugar Man. Have you ever heard of that one before?
Yes. Oh, my God. Rodriguez.
Dude.
Love it.
That if you've never heard of this before, anybody listening, this was one of the most mind-blowing documentaries I've ever heard. I had never heard of that guy before. I had never heard of his music. I never knew he existed. Essentially, this guy, what was his name? Rodriguez, you said?
Rodriguez.
Didn't he? This was back in like...
His music is insanely good. It's up there with Dylan. It's up there with Dylan.
Wasn't this like, was this the 60s, the 50s, 60s? Or no, the 70s that he was around.
It was 70s.
He was just a working musician in like Detroit and was just amazing, but he never quite, like, again, he never quite made it. So he just said, okay, I'm just going to pack it up and I'm just going to stop playing music. And it somehow made its way to South Africa and became like a war cry, like an anthem for apartheid. And like,
yep.
But this is pre-internet, so no one knows that this is happening. They all know who this guy is, and they worship him, and he doesn't even play music anymore. And
he has no idea, and he had no idea that he had fans back in the day. And they thought he was dead. They had heard he was dead. And not to ruin it, but yeah. Just if you get a chance to watch Searching for Sugar Man, watch that documentary, because it is truly amazing. And it's just another example of how anything could happen when you put it out there, you know, you just don't know. But that guy, I would have loved to have heard some of this, because I think he like did two albums, maybe three. But the first one is phenomenal. It's haunting. It's really, really good music.
That is,
I listen to it all the time now. I mean, after I watched the documentary, I got hooked on his music. I love it.
That is a movie to watch for sure. I'm trying to think of a couple other ones. Are you a Wayne's World fan?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
So
yeah.
We just did an episode. I don't know if you knew this. We did an episode on Wayne's World and you know, like that is, it's not necessarily a movie about music. I mean, the second one definitely is when they do Wayne stock, but did you hear the behind the scenes about, the Bohemian Rhapsody, car scene, you know, that famous car scene. Did you ever hear what happened with that?
I didn't.
So apparently they wanted that to be a Guns N' Roses song. Mike Myers said, no, it has to be Bohemian Rhapsody. And he like fought for it. And the interesting thing to me that maybe you can help clear up is, you know, I'm 41. So my whole life I've known Bohemian Rhapsody as like this super popular song, and oh, it's from Wayne's World and everybody bangs their head on this part. But what they were trying to say essentially was that Bohemian Rhapsody wasn't necessarily the popular song that we know it today before that movie came out. Would you agree with that? Or would you say that it was always pretty popular?
You know, I think it's one of those things that they put a new coat of paint on it because it was a big song back in the 70s. It's the one that broke them in America, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, how could you not break with that song? It's just so, Jesus Christ, it's a masterpiece. But yeah, I mean, classic rock, if you think about it, the term classic rock wasn't coined until like 85, you know, and that was the formation of like the 60s and 70s. And then when the 80s came along, they had to do something to repurpose that music. So somebody put the title classic rock on it. Well, that was one of those songs, and they were able to repurpose it for that movie. And I don't think Queen had a bigger fan than Wayne's World, you know, a bigger champion for their music than Wayne's World, because that sent it through the stratosphere. I mean, it introduced people that had no idea about the greatness of Queen to the greatness of Queen. And then people were out searching the music, and, you know, and then it turned into a whole nother thing. So, you know, and then, but yeah, I mean, just amazing, amazing movie, and an amazing cinematic part in any movie.
Yep. And that's what we talk about so much, is that the movie, the moment in the movie doesn't exist without the music. But the music isn't as great without the visual of the scene. And it's just this like perfect harmony of why movies and music videos are so great, is the visual with the audio. It's just like, there's nothing better in my mind than a perfect song in a movie.
Yeah. When we have the video walls up, and we do Bohemian Rhapsody, because that part is flown in. And what we mean by flown in is that even Queen did it back in the day. They use that track part to put their, the breakdown of all the voices and everything. I see a little silhouette of that part. And then it goes to the video screens, go to the part in Wayne's World.
Oh, no
and,
way.
the whole crowd goes nuts when we have that in there. I mean, you could just see everybody losing their mind whenever they see Wayne and Garth on the video. So it's part of our show.
And that's what you're thinking in your head anyway. You're hearing the song and you're thinking about that. So then all of a sudden it pops Wayne's up World. On the screen. Oh, Wayne's World. Cool. The Mirthmobile.
I'm sure Freddie had that in mind whenever.
Yes, I'm sure that's why he wrote the song.
That's why he wrote it.
Yeah. Well, man, you know, I'm not going to keep you too long here. You got any other movies about music you want to chat about real quick before we get out of here?
Man, I think you covered them all. I was going to say Big Lebowski, but because I just love the music in that one too. I mean, that's one of those movies that's not a music, it has anything to do about music, but the music in it is so great.
Well, that's like Dazed and Confused. So I think Dazed and Confused is one of the greatest movies of all time because of the soundtrack.
Yeah. The soundtrack, yeah. And it just makes you think of music. But I think we've covered it all, man. And I've just had a great time. And I love the Pork Tornadoes. I love you guys to death. You are always so great and so welcome. Anytime we see you on the bill, we're so thankful for it. And I'm grateful that you had me on here today.
Well, I appreciate it, man. We're going to see you in Sioux City on May 18th. We're opening for you there. And then, like I said, to anybody listening, I'm serious. You know, I don't lie about things on here. You have to go see Hairball because they are the best. If you go and you don't have fun, I will personally pay you back for the ticket cost, because I know that you're going to have a blast. I can guarantee it. In fact, maybe I'll come see. If it's somewhere nearby, I'll come hang with you and we'll go to the show.
Well, you're welcome anytime you want to come out, and we always welcome the Pork Tornadoes. So thank you so much for everything, dude. I've had a ball just talking about movies and stuff. So thank you.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.